The scripture for the sermon this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And this is what it says. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would quiet our minds, that you would help us to center on you. I ask that you would take the words that are shared and make them what need to be heard, that you would lift us up as a body of Christ together. In your son's name I pray, amen. As Eric said, today is Laity Sunday. It's a day to celebrate the work that we who are not ministers, who have gone to seminary, get to do in the life of the church. I'd like to thank Eric and Stephanie for jumping in, for J-Pro for directing. Karen, we're really sorry, but there's no one like you, so you didn't get the day off. But you did get an organ named after you, so. I confess when I was working on this sermon, if I ever knew the history of Laity Sunday, well, I forgot it. So here's a refresher for all of us. The earliest plans for this day were in 1928, and the first Sunday like this, which was called Layman's Sunday, was first recorded observance in 1929. In 1944, during the Second World War, it's first mentioned in the Book of Discipline, and then fast forward to 1972, when Layman's Sunday becomes Laity Sunday in recognition of the inclusive work that's done in our church. We're one of the few denominations who celebrates Laity Sunday, recognizing the work that we get to do. And one online source said this: Laity Sunday reminds us that the church is built not on one person's calling, but on the shared faithfulness of many. It's a day to celebrate, encourage, and support all God's people who persist in prayer, service, and witness. Now, to be sure, we don't celebrate Laity Sunday to say, oh, look at what I did, or look at what we did as a church, because we're Methodists, and we don't act like that. But it is a day for us to encourage one another in the call that Christ has given to us, how we live out our lives on a daily basis, the work we do to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. As Dr. Comperry said several weeks ago when he preached, it is in gratitude that we serve and in gratitude that we carry on. The verses from Ephesians tell us we're not strangers or foreigners, but we're citizens who share a foundation that's Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone upon which everything is built, saints past and present. We are built together. Hear those words again. We are built together to be inhabited by God through his Spirit. For me, that states no matter where we've been or where we're going or when we've come from or what we're going to do in the future, if we cling to that foundation, the shared foundation we have, God will work in us and through us. While we share a foundation, to be sure, as laity, we live out that calling to Christ in very, very different ways. Members of the household of faith, how we live out our lives are based on the gifts and the graces that God has given each of us. And that's where the verses from Romans come in. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. This Sunday honors and celebrates our varied gifts and the use of those gifts for the kingdom of God. And while we have the same foundation, as I've said, the gifts and talents are different, and I believe there's reasons for that. My experiences, my gifts, my talents differ from Eric's or Jennifer's. But because we have those different experiences and talents, God may use us to meet someone where the other person couldn't. The experience we have allow us to connect with someone, to show God to them in the place that they may be at that time. I believe our gifts and our graces can change over time. I'm not doing things I was 20 or 30 years ago. Yes, I'm that old. Some of you aren't doing the work today you were in the past, and that's because we continue to hear God's voice and to seek that. I think he calls us in different ways, and that's a really good thing. Last year on Laity Sunday, when my friend Jim Knight preached, Jeff and I were in London and worshiping at Westminster Abbey, which was the experience of a lifetime. It was high church at its most moving. And at a God moment, we got to sit in those little boxes right behind the choir. It was a day of God moments upon God moments. That evening, we went to a gospel choir competition at the Royal Albert Hall. Now, I confess, I didn't think of gospel choir music being really big in Europe. But there were choirs from Italy and Spain and Denmark and Poland and the UK, small, medium, large-sized choirs, singing praises to God, thankfully all in English. And the place erupted. It was an amazing experience of God's people gathered together. As we stood in the queue or the line to get into Westminster Abbey, I heard people around us speaking in multiple languages, obviously English, but Italian and French and German and Spanish and languages that I didn't recognize. We worshiped and partook of communion with them, all from varied backgrounds, because we had come to praise the God who calls us based on a shared foundation. We will never gather in that space again. We went back to our own homes. But as we raised our voices in worship in that morning and in the evening, we came to worship the one who had called us. At the time we were there, our Sunday school class here was studying Ephesians, and the sermon that morning at Westminster Abbey was based on the verses from Ephesians I shared today, because it really resonated with me. And that sermon, the morning, was by the Reverend David Hoyle, who shared these words. "It is rather too easy to think of a foundation stone." He's talking about the cornerstone. "The first building block, or the one with the fancy inscription." That's not what is meant. The cornerstone is the thing that sets the building in place, that makes it holds its shape, anchors it on its axis, means that it forever hunkers down here with a door there. It gives us direction and a line of sight that runs this way and not that. The cornerstone means the building can never lose its shape. It defines what follows. Our cornerstone is Christ himself, so our cornerstone tells a story. Our cornerstone is a story. Our cornerstone is the life of Christ, the gospel. On that day, with varied worship experiences, I felt the breadth of the body of Christ that I hadn't felt in a way since I was blessed to go with members of our congregation to Mexico many years ago. That reach, I sometimes tend to forget what God is doing around the world, or I don't think of it as much as I should. On this day, when we encourage ourselves, celebrate the work we're doing, There are members of Methodist laity, but certainly laity of all denominations, doing work around the world that's very different than ours. There are Methodist brothers and sisters who are laboring in countries that are torn by war. Think of the Middle East today and what Christians there experience. Some labor in countries where disease and famine is all too prevalent. And there are some members of the laity, China, Pakistan, North Korea, other nations, who gather in house churches who would never be free to gather as we do in this sanctuary today, who secret scriptures around, because proclaiming Christ can come at a great cost personally. We live in a time, and there have been times like this since the beginning of Christ, when it seems perhaps that the church universal that all we share is the foundation, because there are so many different interpretations of what Jesus calls us to. I think that's part of Satan's design, because a church divided is a church that's less powerful. And while we could talk about the differences, I want to talk about our shared experiences, especially what I've seen in this community of faith since we became members many years ago, but especially during my time as lay leader. I want you to do something for me. This is participatory. You don't have to hold them up. But I want you to look at your hands. It's okay. You can glance at them if you want to. I want you to think about the work that God has allowed those hands to do. Some of you have been on mission trips to other countries, taking not just medical care, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. A number of you, when I look around this sanctuary, have been to Appalachia, making homes warmer and safer and drier for our brothers and sisters in need. You've knit prayer shawls and put together flood buckets, bags for the homeless. You've brought socks and t-shirts for the homeless. In a couple of weeks, we will pack Thanksgiving baskets for those who don't have as much food as some of us do. And once a month, people come to our food pantry because, well, their pantries aren't as full either. Our children and youth are going to help put those baskets together today. It's a long list. Friday night, we had fifth quarter, which is a great time of welcoming high school youth to this sanctuary. And today, the LEC will be filled again with kids getting some candy and playing some games. Now, to be sure someone doesn't come into the kingdom because they got a slice of pizza or a piece of candy. But they do come, I think, because they know they're welcomed and they're accepted, and there's a place that shows love and grace and forgiveness. And those things can be entrees to sharing about Jesus. I want you to think about your voice, the words of encouragement that you've shared, the lessons of faith you've imparted through song or vacation Bible school or leading in VBS, the voices of song raised in prayer and comfort. As I said, we live out our gifts differently, but I know two things in common. I trust that each of you have grasped someone's hands in prayer or given a hug to someone who needed comfort or to help somebody celebrate. Your voice has been a balm to one in need, a confidant and a comforter in time of challenge. Those are holy acts that reflect who we have claimed. The work of each member of the laity has done, is doing, will continue to do, is vital to the sharing of the gospel as it has been since the time of Christ. Because God used those early members of the faith, imperfect people like us, people like you and I, empowered by the Holy Spirit to change the world. And today, this Laity Sunday, and every day, we get to carry on that mission, that ministry to be Christ, to share Christ, to seek to show love and grace and acceptance and forgiveness as he did. And we encourage each other in that walk as laity, as members of the faith, until he comes again. The Reverend Hoyle also shared these words, and while he was talking about his church there, I think the words are for us as well. And I'll note that I've paraphrased it a little because where he used the words, just words, I've added service in recognition of this day that we celebrate. He said this, "What matters more is that this church, and that means all of us, you and me with feet on the earth, breathing this air, are rooted and grounded in Christ. And it is the Christ preaches, the one who must be preached and proclaimed still, in this place, on this axis of faith and nation, the preaching and the life of Christ must go on. The words and service must be said. The life must be lived. The truth that has apprehended us, seized us, made us sure, that truth must be put back into words and service for here and fit for now. The preaching must go on in you and me. We have to find the words and service that can teach and persuade, the words and service that can encourage and explain, the words and service that can console and sustain, the words and service that can spark imagination and summon up love and mercy. Rooted in the preached Christ, we preach still and forever. We serve as God's hands and voice, as people who have been redeemed and who seek to share God's grace with others. And that is the good news that I share to you this day. Please join me in the affirmation of unity. We share one